please step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 269. I am Lisa Sheps, and I am joined by a whole bunch of people who are all going to be acting as my co-host today. You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. We are streaming this live right this very second at koop.org. Do not go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
125,600.
It is Wednesday, June 13th. Not June 13th. Yes, it is June 13th, 2018. On today's show, it's Tonys, Tonys, and more Tonys. Also on the show, we're going to be joined by Spectrum Theater Company in their show, Juneteenth Chronicles by Albina Edwards. And then Young Shakespeare is going to come here with a show that I've never heard of. It's called Hamlet by a new playwright named Bill Shakespeare. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater, including news and views around the country, Austin, and the Tonys. Stick with us. We're just going to hear the end of this. We'll come back. Okay, well, you, as I had said before, you are listening to Offstage and On the Air. For some reason, I am not hearing my voice, but I see the little levelers going up and down, so I know it's going out over the air. So I'm just going to assume that everybody else can hear me. So I can't check in with Nicole because she's not here, but I will introduce the pack of people we have here. And forgive me, I'm not going to be doing this in order, but I'm going to try. So just remember, when I don't remember who you are, that's just one of the joys and things that make me as charming as I am. I have to my left, Jessica Hughes.
Hi.
Hi. Say something, Jessica. I got to actually, because I can't hear the microphones, I want to make sure you're...
Hi.
Yep, it's going. It's going. I guess it's just my headphones. And Anne is nodding as if we got.
So
I'll just. I'll just say Anne Ciccolella, welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome. We have Roderick Sanford. Hi, Roderick.
Hi there.
We have Justin Humphrey.
Good day.
You got to get right up on this sucker microphone.
Good day, world.
And we have Crystal Bird Calviel.
Present.
Oh, good. I like that. That takes me back to school. And I'm. I don't know any of you by face. So I'm gonna Jack Fry.
Howdy.
Right there. Sam Winget.
Hello.
Winget. Am I pronouncing that right?
Oh, it's a Winjet.
Winjet. So, that's so fine. That was my sorority name in college.
Oh.
Heather Embry.
Hi.
Rachel Wolf is here.
Hello.
And then finally we have Owen Chance.
Hello there.
And we have all these people because we're not taking anything by chance. Yes, I will be here all week. So
never heard that one before.
That group of people singing 5,125, 7,000 minutes was the high school from the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Drama Department. They played in the Tonys, and I believe it was a surprise to the audience. Not a dry eye in the house, and it was pretty amazing. And what I found, first of all, raise your hands if you saw the Tonys, either live or bits and pieces only.
Yeah, no,
a couple of
YouTube.
Us.
YouTube.
Bits and pieces.
But that was just amazing.
Well, I didn't know that all those Broadway stars had gone to Florida.
Yes,
that's
they
why
did.
They had the kids come, because the Broadway stars went to Florida for the kids.
Right, because they were working on
know.
They were
that
working
part.
On Spring Awakening, and we talked about it on the show a few weeks ago, and it was a pretty amazing experience for all involved. So that was the kids singing this thing, and the one girl singing the solo, the riffing on top. Oh my God, was that amazing? I'll just answer. Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
The incredible thing about radio is that that nodding and facial gestures just don't work. So we had the Tony Awards on Sunday night, and after I did poll our studio audience, it seems that three of us saw them. Did the rest of you? Did you look at bits and pieces of it?
I saw the Once on This Island clip and some other clips.
Yeah. The Once
on And I'm going to ask you guys to get right up on the microphones when you speak. I can't hear you on headphones, so I can't gauge whether whether you're going. So I'm just going to trust you guys because that's what I'm going to do. You saw the Once on the Island piece.
Right.
Well, what did you think of the Once on the Island piece?
I loved it. I mean, just because, partially I'm partial to the show because I did that show a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
And then seeing the reboot of it and hearing those voices and hearing the songs and the movie, it's a great show. And seeing it again, coming back and having the reaction and the people enjoying it, it was like, I need to go do this show again.
Mm. And how awesome was it that it won Best Revival?
That was fantastic.
That was an upset.
Yes.
So nobody expected it. Everybody expected it to be Carousel,
My
Fair Lady. Yeah. It's a pretty amazing upset, if you ask me.
Yes.
But that's only if you ask me. So while we're stopped on the Once on the Island, because I think the Once on the Island, Once on This Island, was the biggest culprit in this thing that I'm going to talk about. So when they did the musical numbers, did anybody, well, I can only talk to the people that watch them, they played to the camera more than normal. And it was less about the audience sitting there and more about the telecast. And Once on This Island was the biggest culprit because they did a beautiful way of replicating In the Round by having audience on stage and in front of it. And by the way, those audience members were aid workers that helped at the school. Yeah, okay, well, I thought that was cool.
I'm nodding.
nodding doesn't work, Anne. So they started the shot talk with the three leads with a shot on them while the camera circled around them. So they had their backs to the audience for good portions of this. As someone who watched the television, it looked really nice. But I don't know. Anybody? Nobody? Am I
I'll
the only one with this
opinion?
I'll
look at it again, Lisa, and try to notice that. But I did not notice that.
I think a lot of things that show, even though... Pardon me, let me step up.
Ooh, Roderick.
Like in everything else, it's now geared for those snapshots that you're going to watch on YouTube or wherever you're going to see something else. So, yes, it's about presenting that moment, but if you're there, it's not technically about you that much anymore. It's about the replay and the replay because that's where they're going to generate the more revenue of people coming in to see it because, unfortunately, and I'm a theater person, but I'm guilty, I didn't watch the show.
Yeah.
But I've seen just about every other clip because sitting at my desk, I have time to now
watch
this clip and watch this clip when I should be working.
Well, nobody works anymore, Roderick. That's absolutely true. And actually, I was looking up for the piece of paper, even though... So ratings on the Tony's telecast has been going down, down, down. And they're worried about it. So we do indeed need to play to the television audience. But... ratings went up this year. All right, that's okay. Nobody's
I'm nodding.
Maybe people just wanted to see because a lot of the shows this year are shows that were already on TV or a movie or something. So they're like, oh, I know this for once. Instead of it being typically the Tonys, and I'm, once again, a theater person, I'm guilty of this. I had no clue of who's doing what and what show was on until I see it there.
So
why am I going to watch this to see something I don't know about?
I can prescribe something for next year for you.
I'm okay. Like, I'm good.
No, I can. I think you're going to want to hear this.
Okay.
You should listen to Offstage and On the Air because we talk about this all through the year.
I know.
I'm just going to say
again, guilty. So, I'm just going to back away in shame a lot.
So here we go. I have to apologize to everybody, and I wish Nick and Nicole were here because they would hear my apology. And for those of you not listening to in headphones, you're not going to be able to hear this, but here's my apology.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What do you mean to do? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, there's my apology. So, and here's, why do you have to be sorry, Lisa? So I was underwhelmed when they chose Sarah Bareilles and Josh Groban to, and I said, there is just no way that they are going to be very good, but I am sorry. I thought they rocked it.
Huh.
Anybody else you didn't like him?
I just was, it wasn't appealing to me until I saw them. So I'm with you.
Yeah.
I was like, really?
I want them back.
They were fine.
They were both charming.
Yeah. The song about losing.
Oh my God.
Perfect.
It was.
It was a great way to start
the show.
So they started, the opening number was basically an homage to the losers, because the majority of the people in that audience would be losers. And they are two losers. And so this is Josh Groban and Sarah Bareilles, huge pop figures, huge Broadway figures now. And they stop in the middle of the song, and Sarah Bareilles goes to Josh Groban, "Really? No Grammys? I find that strange." And he said, "No, I got nothing." "You?" She goes, "I got nothing." So they've got nothing, which is sort of amazing. All right, I thought it was amazing. So that was my apology. I'll just in case people didn't hear it, here we go again.
"I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What do you mean to do? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize."
There you go. I just have so much fun. So as we talked about the winners, it was pretty clear about, we all pretty much knew who the winners were going to be. But the big surprise was winner of the best revival, which was revival of a musical, which was indeed Once on This Island. I'm thrilled that that happened. I think if I wouldn't have predicted it, and I was very happy that it happened. So if you have not heard Once on This Island, you need to go listen to the soundtrack. It's wonderful. So the speeches were all pretty good. Lindsay Mendez's speech was really great. She made an homage, that's the second time I've said homage in this. I don't use that word that often. But she basically said that she's coming from a time, and all of us, or people of color, aren't typically seeing people that look like them on stage and on television and in the media. And she was... she was encouraged to change her name to something like Fisher or something instead of Mendez, because a Latina isn't going to go as far as someone that has a more white sounding name. And she opted not to do that, and good for her. And she said, this is just, you know, be your truth, be your own person, and it'll work out. And you look at the awards this time, and we are getting much more better about appreciating everybody in the theater community, although we could still continue to do a better job. So good for Lindsay Mendez.
True.
We have a lot of work to do, and there's no question. Nathan Lane won for Angels in America, which is really, really lovely. Band's Visit won Best Musical, which I told our listening audience that was going to happen. There was
you
no question.
Did?
Yeah, but it was a big surprise. Nobody else knew that.
I know.
But they didn't know that they were going to run away. Of all the awards, I believe they had 10 nominations and they won 9. Okay,
did,
I thought that was
great.
Amazing.
They did great.
They did great. And did y'all see Katrina Link's? Did you see the when she sang Omar Sharif on the
tele?
Yeah. Well, I'm just in love with that woman. And I thought she just did such a great job. I was like sort of
in tears.
I thought
Tony Shalhoub was pretty wonderful.
He is pretty wonderful.
And he says nothing.
He says nothing.
Just
what
great.
A great listener.
And in his post-show interview, they asked him, you know, why he did so well in the show. And he said, because my director only gave me one direction. But he gave me that direction over and over. And that was simplify.
Simplifying.
And he's like, you know, I'm a shtick person, so I like to do everything. But he was just like, do less, just simplify.
Do less. And well, and he did do less.
Oh, he's lovely.
He won Best Actor in a Musical. And one of the podcasts I listened to didn't take offense, but they didn't agree that he should have won. And I disagree with their disagreement. And here's their argument was, he does not have a number in the show, and he doesn't sing very much. He sings as part of the group. And this person thought that if somebody's going to win an award in the musical category, they should be a triple threat doing all that stuff within the show. And I disagree. Am I wrong?
Well, no Sondheim person's going to win if you have to be a triple threat, because there's not going to be much dancing.
This is true. Who's this Sondheim person?
Who's this?
Heard of him. Let's talk about, so even if you didn't see the show, you must have heard about Robert De Niro's introduction to Bruce Springsteen.
Yes.
Yeah, so any thoughts on that?
Crystal?
I agree.
I don't think there's anybody in that audience that wouldn't agree with the sentiment, but do you think that was the right stage to do that on? And we should say this, those people that didn't see it, he came up to introduce Bruce Springsteen, and the first thing he said was, it's no longer down with Trump, it's explicative Trump. And that got bleeped. And you should, I don't do Twitter, but I got on Twitter at that point, and I want to know what he said, because they bleep it. They don't bleep, they just silence it. And a huge chunk of time went by. Anyway, so he said the F word about the president during a Tony's. And there's some people saying that's not the place to do it. Other people are saying it is the place to do it. Thoughts?
Okay, I think that our president is not a huge supporter or proponent of the arts.
He isn't.
Or the majority of people who are artists. And there's a lot of people of color and people who have sexual orientations that he doesn't agree. So I think that he doesn't like the vast majority of people in that industry. And I think that their applause and standing ovation tells us that they supported.
Oh, there's no question that the sentiment is supported. And we've talked about it on this show, and I will say that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and on the Air are not those of the radio station, board of directors, and staff. But I told, there's no secret that I am totally on board with the sentiment. I was just curious about the when and how. So then he goes on to introduce Springsteen. What did y'all think of that performance?
It showed me that I'm a bad listener because Bruce was not performing much at all, and I just lost track of what he was saying so many times.
I lost track after the first sentence. Did you have thoughts, Anne?
I didn't really see it. I just saw a little bit of it on YouTube, and I went to the next thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I wish Nicole was here because she'd feel vindicated. It was he did this long, long, long monologue while he played two different chords on the piano, driving crazy. And then he did a rendition of Your Hometown, which is sort of pretty, but again, snoozing. And it went on for probably 10 or 15 minutes. And it sort of upsets me when, here's the other thing I'm going to get on my firebrand soapbox about. The Lifetime Achievement Award went to Chita Rivera and what's that guy's name? Lord Andrew, I keep forgetting his last name.
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yes.
I couldn't tell if you were joking or not.
I was joking. Andrew Lloyd Webber and Chita Rivera. So the way they did it is they were not given their awards during the normal telecast. So they went up and accepted the awards earlier before the telecast. Then when they went to talk about, so they said that they were winners. They came and played a one-sentence snippet from their acceptance speech. Wow. Then they went on to play a six-minute video highlighting their works. And then they were brought on to introduce the next award. So that sort of upset me. They should have gotten their accolades on stage during the telecast and taken 3 minutes of that 6 minute video to be able to give their thanks to the audience on the telecast, especially people like Chita Rivera and Andrew Lloyd Webber. Yeah, okay.
I want to give my complaint about the Tony.
Please.
When I was young,
you're still
young.
They
would have clips of plays.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it's been over a decade, just musicals.
No,
and,
They did it about 5 years ago.
And that's
beautiful.
That was my way of knowing what plays were like.
Yeah.
And I just feel like, wow, if you're a theater person of drama or even comedy, and you're not singing, you don't get any of that anymore.
You're absolutely right. And I'll take my personal crush right now, Miss Katrina Link. And I think if they had showed Indecent on the Tonys, that there would be a lot of people that would have gone to that, because that was an amazing piece of work. So that's that. So the regional, every year they give a regional award, and they gave it this year to La Mama Et Cetera, which is in New York City. And again, a different podcast I listened to had a very good point in saying, when we're celebrating, this is the Tonys is all about New York theater, and more specifically, it's all about Broadway. So it's really a very small piece of the theater pie. And when they go to acknowledge regional theater, that should be outside of the New York City region, in my opinion.
It usually is,
but this time they chose La Mama Etc., which is right smack dab in New York City. So there's some people.
Well, it's very off.
It's off.
It's not down, Broadway, that's for sure.
Definitely not Broadway. But I also thought that the regional theater had to be a Lort theater, so I'm guessing not, because I don't think La Mama.
No, they're tiny. I mean.
Yeah. Well. So that's it. Let me look at the. Oh, the other thing was, so Rachel Bloom did a. She was backstage interviewing people as they came out, and I don't know if this is a hoax or not, but Neil Patrick Harris tweeted, "Who is the woman in the top hat backstage at the Tonys?" Getting remarked that she says "like" and "oh my god" a lot. I'm confused. That was Neil Patrick Harris. She tweeted back and she said, "I'm a big fan of yours. We've met numerous times,
yeah,
and my husband,
that.
Dan Gregor, wrote How I Met Your Mother for 5 years. Notably, he wrote the episode where your character finally meets his father." And then Neil Patrick Harris said, "Indeed, thanks for the reminder."
Because originally I thought he didn't know. And then it was like when he responded, I was like, oh. I thought it was like a joke.
I thought so
then
too, but I don't
think
it was.
Then it's not.
Yeah. That sounds like something I would do because I don't remember anybody.
Sure. Especially if somebody's in a top hat. You know, Roderick had a beard and I didn't recognize him.
Well, she had a little, it was like a dog top hat.
Oh!
It was a tiny top hat.
I like that. It's tiny.
So the New York Times has a thing on the best and the worst and all of for the Toners. Toners?
No.
We're going to change the name to the Toners. So the best was Love for the Losers, which was that opening number that they did. The worst was No Love for the Writers. Oh, yeah. So it's interesting. The Writers Awards were all, or were actually the writer for the plays was outside the telecast. The writer for the musical was in the telecast. Can you have an idea why that was? I know why. Well, because one of those is Tina Fey. Was a nominee. She didn't win, but anyway.
Mean Girls.
Mean Girls. And the number for Mean Girls was kind of nice. I liked it. But I think my favorite
was... I was surprised how musical theater it was. It was mm-hmm. like, wow, this is like a regular musical.
Anyway, well, my favorites would split between Once on This Island, which was just a lovely number, and The Band's Visit, because I'm in love with Katrina Link. Have I said that three times already?
Four.
She's just amazing. And I will say, and I've said it on this program before, that the straight play Indecent, which was a Paula Vogel play directed by Rebecca Teichman. Am I mispronouncing?
I don't know how to say her name.
I don't know. I know I mispronounce it.
I'm like, yes, I say Chickalella.
But it is an amazing piece of theater. It is available on Broadway HD. So any other thoughts about the Tonys before we move on? No. Okay. Well, this is it's a good thing my co-hosts aren't here. They would not get a word in edgewise. So one last thing is that the Jimmy Awards, and who's familiar with the Jimmy Awards? You guys, young Shakespeare, should be familiar. How about Gatsmuta?
I know that one, yeah.
That's the Greater High School Musical Theater Awards, which we talk a lot about. So Jimmy's is the National High School Musical Theater Awards, and they are live streaming it this year.
Oh.
So, and it is going to be streamed live on Facebook, June 25th. And what does it say? Laura Benanti will host.
Oh, my favorite.
Love her, too, although I'm still mad at her for not answering my tweet when I tweeted her. That's it.
Nothing personal.
No, there's absolutely everything personal about it. So let's see. Well, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to tell everybody what we're going to listen to when we take that Blake. Blake? I cannot speak today.
Only radio.
I'm going to play a little song from both of the winners. Right now, we're going to play something from The Band's Visit, which I know I've been playing ad nauseum, but I am having a little girl crush on Katrina Ooh. Link. But this is not a Katrina Link song. This song is Hallid's song about love, and it's sung by, oh my God, his name is Ariel. He also won the Tony, and he's just charming. Let's listen to that, and we will be right back.
Not break the ice, you melt the ice.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps. I'm missing my co-host, Nick Squared. That is Nicole Shiro and Nick Mayo. But I'm lucky to have co-host Ann Ciccolello.
Co-host,
who has that as a permanent moniker here on the show. And I have papers everywhere, and until I get them together, I'm not going to be able to introduce my next guests, who you've already been hearing them a little bit, but this is the folks from Spectrum and their show, Juneteenth Chronicles. And I will like to reintroduce Krisha Bird Caviel.
Hi.
Roderick Sanford.
Good afternoon.
And Justin Humphrey.
Good day.
So this is a really special show. Tell us about it.
It's very special. It's written by local playwright Abina Edwards, and she painstakingly sorted through over 250 interviews from the Library of Congress that are interviews from former slaves in Texas, and constructed this lovely show around those narratives.
Awesome. And Juneteenth celebrates the emancipation, but specifically are more in this southern part of the United States, correct?
Texas, to be exact.
Texas specifically.
Specifically.
And this was something that Dr. Hardin was going to be doing before he passed. Is that correct?
Yes. So it's even more important because he was in discussions with some members of Spectrum about remounting the show, and he actually performed excerpts of this show 2 years ago.
Oh my.
And so we're just making sure to carry it out.
Mm-hmm. My, well, it sounds amazing. I'm sorry it's just going to be one show, because it's just one show, isn't it?
It's this weekend, Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, so it's two shows. We have two opportunities.
Yes.
And is it is this a narrative, or is it basically reading of the pieces?
It's a staged reading.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a little bit of fiction wrapped around it, and that's actually our narrator is going to bring us into the top of the show. So it's a little bit of fiction. It's like actors coming on stage talking about what is Juneteenth, why do we celebrate the fact that slaves received a late memo by 2.5 years, basically. And then all of the actors read the narratives from the ancestors.
Okay, well, we're going to hear a little piece of it, right?
Right.
And I believe you've just set it up, so let's just sit back and listen to it. This is Roderick Sanford and Justin Humphrey doing a piece from Spectrum Theater Company's production of Juneteenth Chronicles by Albina Edwards.
However, this right here is Juneteenth like you've never known it before. Here and now, we turn away from tribal factions, covetousness, and intolerance in order to honor the legacy of a people who were at long last set free from bondage. On this Juneteenth, we recall when Moses received word that his people must be set free. By calling the names and uttering the words of our elders, we are, in a sense, entering into their presence. Let's prepare to sit at the feet of our elders, being mindful that just like Moses, we are entering a sacred ground.
And the next bit is an exchange between a slave and his master.
We didn't know what the war was about, but master was gone 4 years, and the slaves used to cry and pray for him all the time. When Master Bob get home, he sent for all the slaves. He's sitting there in a yard chair, looking all wore out, shook hands all round, say.
I'm sure glad to see you all. Now, I've got something to tell you. You're free. You don't belong to anybody but yourselves. We went to war and we fought the Yankees, but they whipped us. And they say the slaves are free. You can go where you want to go. You can do as you like.
He couldn't help but cry. The slaves didn't know much what all masters say, but they cried too. They sorry about the freedom, because they don't have nowhere to go. They always depend on master to look after them. Most everyone stay on as paid hands, but they can't hardly get used to the idea. When they wants to go off somewhere, they still go up to the big house to ask for the pass. They just can't understand about the freedom.
Wow. That's incredible. And probably required viewing, I would think, for most people, not only in Austin, but around the country and around the world.
Mm-hmm.
right? It's a it's a cautionary tale that unfortunately we all know about, but we don't listen to, quite frankly.
And a lot of these people are from neighboring counties. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of discoveries made during this.
So the text that you're reading is actually coming from people that are near the Central Texas region.
I'm related to some of these folks.
Oh, that's amazing.
I found out about some of my family also because there's one reference in here. We're referring to Wharton and how that was a refugee camp. And on my father's side, there's a large group of people that are from Wharton. I was like, well, that kind of sheds a little bit more light on that. So little things about all of us, I think we discovered in the process of going through this read through.
That's amazing. I want to talk more about that. We're going to take a quick tangent here, and we're going to listen at random to one of our legal IDs, which we always do at the half hour. So here we go.
All right, I'm Christian Ortega.
I'm Graham Dalling, and we're with the National Theatre of Scotland, and you're listening to Offstage and On the Air
on KOOP HD1, Hornsby, Austin.
There it is, National Theatre of Scotland. So, for Black people in this country, you can almost always point back to that your in your heritage are people that were suffering from being part of the slave culture. Culture is not the right word. Slave. I'm trying not to say slaves because that's and I'm trying to say the right words because we don't say slaves anymore. We say experienced slavery.
Or emancipated peoples or enslaved peoples, I guess.
So within this, Roderick, you actually discovered people in your own family through this piece?
Not discovered the people, but finding out more of a history of some of the people in a region from my family. Uh-huh. And like then listening to other lines in here talking about coming to Belton and talking about coming to Austin in particular and how Montopolis was a landing spot. I didn't even know Montopolis was a large enough area to have its own little designation, but there's someone in here that talks about coming to Montopolis and someone talks about coming to other areas. So it's, even though it's, it's very informative. I was
I think we all feel sort of, I know I do, I sort of feel it's so separated from these pieces of our history. And when I think of them, I don't think of them happening in areas where I currently live.
Exactly.
And yet they do.
Yes.
So it's the same thing we were talking about, in the 60s, a lot of the protests and stuff were happening right here, and I didn't think of it. So that's amazing. So who this is being done at AISD Performing Arts Center?
Correct.
At 1500
in the big building, right?
Yes, in the main hall.
That's amazing. That's wonderful.
So tell us the address again.
1500
Barbara Jordan Boulevard.
Barbara Jordan Boulevard.
Yes.
There you go. It's right there in the Mueller Miller Muller complex.
Over there in the Mueller,
which is kind of amazing over there these days.
Yes.
I mean, that's really great. So it's Saturday night and
Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 3 p.m. Oh, great. Sunday at 3 p.m. The show will be followed by a talk back with Dr. Dinah Ramey Berry from UT. Mm-hmm. She's a renowned historian and she's the leading slavery expert in the nation. And she will be facilitating a Q&A after the Sunday show.
Cool.
Awesome.
Could you describe the poster? I just said earlier, I thought it was a work of art. Could you just describe for the radio audience what the poster looks like?
Yes. The playwright actually created the poster herself. She's compiled hundreds of images that actually correspond to the interviews. And so those folks on the poster are the actual folks that you'll be hearing from in the staged reading.
Cool. Wonderful. Where can folks go to get more information about the show?
You can go to our Facebook page. If you go to Facebook and type in Juneteenth Chronicles. Mm.
Great. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for being on the show.
Thank
really
you, Spectrum.
Enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Looking
thank
forward you very to much. Seeing it and always thinking about Dr. Billy Harden and thinking about Spectrum and wanting the best for all of you guys to keep moving up, moving forward.
Thank Will you.
Do. We need it.
Thanks for doing this.
Awesome. So that was Spectrum Theater Company, and their show is Juneteenth Chronicles by Albina Edwards. They're at the AISD Performing Arts Center June 16th and 17th, I guess. For more information, search the Juneteenth Chronicles on Facebook. And this is a song called Never from the Broadway show Amazing Grace. We'll be right back.
Never, no, never.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps, sans Nick Squared. It's all me, all by myself. So let's talk a little bit about local stuff going on here. And I will just say this to one of you guys. Hey, thank you. It's happening. As we talk about on the show, we see how the sausage is made here because we do everything out in the open. So one of the things I want to talk about is happening at Ground Floor Theater opening tomorrow night is Eloise Gold and Natalie George, a show For a Limited Time Only. And I've seen them load in and set up, and they always do such amazing things that are out of the ordinary and not your usual run-of-the-mill theater. And it just looks like so much fun. And it plays this weekend only. For more information, Ground Floor Theater.
Well, thank you, Ground Floor Theater.
Let me finish. .org. Well, this is not a Ground Floor Theater production, but we're happy to have them in our house. And then I just want to sort of point out that Austin Playhouse is doing Lucky Stiff, the musical, with Scott Shipman and other folks. It's directed and musically directed by Michael McKelvey and Danny Herman and Rock Rivera Steak, who I need to get on this show again.
Oh, he's great.
Our choreographer.
The rocker?
Yep.
Yeah.
And Danny, I have known since back in my New York days. Yeah. We knew each other back in New York. And it is playing at the Austin Playhouse, and you can find information about that at austinplayhouse.com. You got anything that you want to talk about other than your own stuff locally, or other than Young Shakespeare? Oh, you know what I want to talk about? You are doing a jazz thing, Austin Shakespeare is.
Well, do you want some dirt?
I you know what? I was just saying as I drove up, I hope I get some dirt.
This week, some people may have noticed that Parker Jazz Club was closed.
Where is Parker Jazz Club?
Okay. Do you remember the old Spaghetti Warehouse?
Yeah.
Underneath.
Oh, okay.
So it's like 4th and Colorado. Mm-hmm. Does that sound right? So our good friend Pam Hart was supposed to have an event there on Wednesday, and she's singing with us in this Shakespeare and all that jazz thing. So she sends us an email that's like, y'all, they are not doing my Wednesday event. And it was like, no, because it's a beautiful room, but an expensive room. So we tried to get in touch with them, no response. Then one of our donors said they were closed on Saturday.
Uh-oh. Well,
that was real scary. So then Facebook said that they had a staffing problem. Okay, we're praying. I'm praying for a staffing problem and that they're opening this week. So, yes, our desire is that Pam Hart and lots of other great singers will sing with us at July 8th at the Parker Jazz Club. Long may it live.
Long may it live. And folks can get information, I'm assuming, at austinshakespeare.org.
Yes.
Awesome. Jess Hughes, did you have anything you wanted to talk about that's happening locally?
She's got a new hairdo.
She does.
She looks so pretty.
She looks sassy.
And one of your witches was here. Young Shakespeare is doing Macbeth next year.
Oh, awesome.
And Jess was one of our witches with Crystal Bird in the past, and they formed a great witchy bond.
Jess, aren't you doing the Austin Playhouse show?
I am. I'm doing Lucky Stiff.
Oh, okay. That's right.
As you walked up, I said, wait, we have
a Lucky Stiff right here.
You should have jumped right up when I started talking about it.
Yeah, it's a really fun show. I'm just in the ensemble, but it means I get to play a drunk French maid and fun stuff like that.
Funny thing is, that was my sorority name in college.
And I get to wear like 6 wigs. So I was like, I can dye my hair.
6 wigs?
Yeah. I know, I got to try on a lot of dudes.
Oh, there you go.
Like one on top of the other.
So anything else locally that you want to talk about real quick?
Yeah, so Pollyanna is doing a show, If Wishes Were Fishes. It opens
for children.
June 22nd. Yes, it is for kids, for 4 to 9 year olds.
Little kids.
And it's, a great summertime show. They have a magic fish that grants 3 wishes. And
well,
it's
of course.
Well, I wish I had one.
Being careful what you wish for. So.
Well, awesome. Well, great. Well, we look forward to that. Let's do a little Today in Theater History.
Before my favorite.
It's awesome.
Oh my goodness.
So have you heard of the show, the musical Shangri-La?
Yeah.
You have?
I've just heard of it. I don't know anything
about it. Yeah, well,
I knew there was a musical.
It's composer's Harry Warren.
Harry Warren.
And it is based on James Hilton's Lost Horizon. Mm-hmm. It starred Dennis King and Shirley Bally. Hi. Dennis King and Shirley Yamaguchi, and included a supporting cast of Jack Cassidy.
Oh, I love him.
Alice Ghostly, Harold Lang, and Carol Lawrence. I mean, amazing
Carol
people.
Carol Lawrence.
Only ran for 21 performances at the Winter Garden, and that opened in 1956. And,
yeah, we don't want to discuss that.
Fortunately, yet. I don't think any of us were alive. You were alive in 56, were you?
Of course I was.
You were? Oh, I thought you were.
You don't know how old I am.
Okay, anyway. So we'll jump up to 1979, and yay, all of us were alive then, right? Okay.
Oh, no.
I know, I'm teasing. Phyllis Newman opened...
Love Phyllis Newman.
Me too.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
I do, absolutely.
She's so New York.
Yes, and she did her raucous comedy set in the kitchen of a popular restaurant at dinner time, and it featured Rip Torn and
Torn. Oh my
yeah,
God.
And it was called The Kitchen. Oh, sorry, boy, whoa. That's a whole different show. That's called The Kitchen in 1966. I skipped paragraphs here. Phyllis Newman, I'm talking about The Mad Woman of Central Park West.
Okay.
Which was directed and co-written by Arthur Lawrence, and it's autobiographical. This is the anniversary of the death of Geraldine Page in 1987.
I'm sorry, was The Kitchen like Arnold West?
Yeah, let's go back and look. 1966, that was The Kitchen at 81st Street Theater, New York. Doesn't say who wrote it.
Arnold Wexler.
It doesn't say that, so I can't verify it because it doesn't say it on the paper. Arnold Wexler, who, as everybody knows, is Mr. and Mrs. Wexler's little boy. This is also the anniversary of Tick, Tick, Boom, which premiered 5 years after the death of Jonathan Larson, who composed it. And it is an autobiographical story of Jonathan Larson. It starred Raul Esparza, Amy Spenger, and Jerry Dixon. Also on this date in 2002, the Phantom of the Opera celebrated a milestone performance. Anybody want to guess how many performances in 2002? So that's 16 years ago. They're still going.
Over 100?
Yeah, try 6,000.
6,000?
Yeah, it's amazing. And then in 2017, just last year, Donna Murphy returned to the stage in Hello, Dolly, who many people said that she was better than Bette
Some
Midler.
Some do say that.
Some say that.
Some say that.
Birthdays, Basil Rathbone.
Oh, I love him. What a schnoz he had.
He did have a schnoz. Oh, Bernie Jacobs, who I've met a few times back
you
in the day.
Have?
I did.
Oh, my.
He was part of the production team of
Oh,
Brother.
Nice? He just seemed so mean.
He was kind of nice. Oh, so Bernie Jacobs, along with, who's the other guy? They were the Schuberts.
Right.
Rex Everhart, 1920. Paul Lynde.
Paul Lynde.
1926. And Richard Thomas, 1951. So we will take a break and we'll come back and we'll learn all about the melancholy Dane. And we will listen to a
There's nothing like a Dane.
There's nothing like a... No, it's got to be like this. There is nothing like a Dane. Get it? That's a melancholy Dane. Let's listen to Tick, Tick, Boom.
I was afraid that you'd be afraid if I told you.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air on KOOP HD1 HD3. You are listening to me, Lisa Sheps, and co-host Ann Ciccolella. Oh, I didn't turn on your microphone. I guess I should do that. Say that again.
Yay.
So, and now we're going to talk about the melancholy Dane. There ain't nothing like a Dane. Which is, of course, Hamlet, which is going to be done by Young Shakespeare, part of Austin Shakespeare.
We open tomorrow.
You Ooh. Open tomorrow. So let's reintroduce everybody that's here. And we have Rachel Wolf.
That's me.
Who's playing the Ham.
Yes.
She's playing the Hamlet. Yes. You're
the
Hamlet.
One and only
okay.
Ham.
I had to like do that translation in my head. Heather Embry.
Hi.
Hi, how
playing
are you?
Playing Ophelia.
Okay, we're going to learn what they're playing. Playing Ophelia. Okay, Owen Chance.
Hello there.
Playing.
I'm Laertes.
Yeah, tell us who you're playing.
The brother of.
Spend not there or do not.
Something like that.
Yeah, neither a borrower or a lender be.
There you go.
Oy Vesmer. Sam Wingjet?
Close, yeah.
God, it's close. What is it?
Wingjet.
Wingjet.
Yeah,
darn.
It's Welsh. It's weird.
Okay. What?
It's beautiful.
Oh, it's beautiful. I'm playing Claudius and the Ghost.
Claudius and the Ghost, which was a great sitcom in the 70s. And Jack Fry.
Here. I am playing Polonius.
Playing Polonius.
And he has the line, neither a borrower nor a lender be, two Laertes.
Two Laertes, yes, I know. I was talking to you, not reciting what you were saying. I was trying to impart wisdom of something I do not have. This is exciting. So this is Young Shakespeare out at the Curtain Theater. How many of you have done Young Shakespeare before?
I have.
I have.
That's one. That's two.
I have.
That's three.
This is my first time.
Yay!
This is my first time as well.
Awesome. Let's talk about the experience. How has the experience been for you guys? And I want to talk to you first. And hold on, I forgot your name already. Heather.
Yeah.
Tell us about your experience with Young Shakespeare.
Going into it, I was kind of nervous, but really excited to be playing Ophelia. That was my initial reaction. And then starting to get into like the character just got me more and more excited to play Ophelia. And my experience has been so good. The cast has been so amazing. And just getting to know everyone and the directors, and it's been so fun. So
as part of your research, did you visit a nunnery?
No.
Okay, well, one day you'll be serious about performing.
Maybe.
I'm teasing.
I was a method actor.
I'm teasing. And so for those of you that have done Young Shakespeare before, somebody give me an idea of how you're feeling about the experience as a long timer. Who's the longest timer? Go for it.
So I've been doing this for, I think, 7 years now. And it's nothing but positive, I think. Probably the most important thing I've done so far. And if anyone who's listening has any children who might be interested in acting, I highly recommend the program.
Yeah. So Jack is now a college freshman.
Mazel
he just
tov.
Finished. He goes sophomore year next year. So this is his last year because you can only be 19. He's aging out.
Okay,
but
aging
he
out.
Was in a Julius Caesar as a little tiny guard.
Yeah, at two. Oh.
Yeah.
I understand. Sam, how many years have you been doing it? And you're
my first one.
Yeah, you're not 19.
Oh, I am.
You are?
Yeah, I just turned on Monday. Okay.
For our listeners,
he's
got a full beard. And when I was 19, nobody had a full... I know I didn't have a full beard. Ba-dum-bum. Well, cool. Yeah. So how many years how many years is this for you?
For Austin
Young Shakespeare.
Shakespeare? Oh, this is my first one.
Oh, you didn't... Did you say that and I just didn't pay attention?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's because you're in Nicole's spot that I'm making assumptions.
Oh,
so tell us about your experiences the first year in doing it. And can I assume this is also your last?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
First and last.
I say that mournfully. It's a good experience. I kind of feel really pushed, really. Not only just by like the source material, because kind of reading Shakespeare and reading kind of old Elizabethan English is very hard and very challenging, and there's a lot of words and syntax doesn't make a lot of sense, and I have like already kind of a little bit of problems with like speaking, and so kind of going through that and being pushed to kind of do well and make sure that the audience understands what I'm saying, it's kind of a lot more than I would expect from myself, just kind of putting forward. And I think that's a good skill to learn right before I go into college and
there
kind
you go.
Of like, you know, get an experience in Shakespeare and kind of really get myself entrenched in, you know, a role.
And Lisa, we all have lines for you.
I would, you know what? I've never been able to set this up before you've done that. And I was sitting here and I was at the microphone waiting to get a word in edgewise because I've never been able to beat Anne at this.
I'll try.
So
the
I know
next
we
time.
Go no. Well, next year. So we're gonna go through and each of you are gonna do a line from your pieces. So do me a favor and say who you are and what you're playing before you do the line. And if you're playing multiple roles, say which role you're doing the line from.
I am Jack Fry. I will be playing Polonius. The best actors in the world, neither for tragedy, comedy, history, pastoral comical, historical pastoral, tragical historical, tragical comical, historical pastoral, scene indivisible, or poem unlimited. Seneca cannot be too heavy, nor Plautus too light. For the law of writ and the liberty, these are the only men.
Excellent.
My name is Heather Embry, and I'm playing Ophelia. My honored lord, you know right well you did, and with them words of so sweet breath composed as made the things more rich. Their perfume lost, take these again, for to the noble mind rich gifts wax poor when givers prove unkind.
Awesome.
I'm Owen Chance. I'll be playing Laertes.
Dread, my lord, your leave and favor to return to France, from whence though willingly I came to Denmark to show my duty in your coronation. Yet now, I must confess, that duty done, my thoughts and wishes bend again towards France.
Mais oui.
I'm Rachel Wolfe, and I will be playing Hamlet. 'Tis now the very witching time of night, where churchyards yawn and hell itself breathes out contagion to this world. Now could I drink hot blood and do such bitter business as the day would quake to look on.
Oh my, that was melancholy indeed.
My name is Samuel Winchett, and I will be playing King Claudius. 'Tis sweet and commendable in your nature, Hamlet, to give these morning duties to your father. But you must know, your father lost a father. That father lost his. And the survivor bound in filial obligation for some turn to do obsequious sorrow.
Oh my God. That was excellent. You guys did a great job. I wish folks could see Rachel because she took a moment. She took that Stanislavski moment to get into her role.
To get in her wig bind her breasts.
To bind her breasts. I only wish y'all had swords.
Yeah.
We can never have enough swords.
We do.
Well, I'm sure you do. It's not. So is this done in, are we doing this in Shakespearean time? Are we doing this in, no. I saw a shake and a nod all at the same time. What time period is this presented in?
1950s.
Yeah, kind of like 50s, 60s.
Oh, cool.
50s, so it's 60s. A cross between The Crown and Mad Men. That was our goal. And we have a band that plays tunes of the Beatles and the Stones. Oh, live, my. Three teens.
So y'all have been out rehearsing at the Curtain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hope you've been drinking plenty of water.
Mm-hmm. I try.
And y'all open tomorrow night, which is very exciting. Mm-hmm. So how's that experience been? And we just have just a few, like, in just a few seconds, how's it been working outside? Who hasn't talked? You haven't talked. Oh, dear. What's your name again?
My name is Owen.
Owen.
Yes. I mean, the Curtain's super, super cool because it's just a miniature replica of the Globe, but it's also very, very hot. So it is important to drink all the water.
But when the audience comes, it'll be at night, so it'll be
it'll
cool
be a little
breeze
bit
off the lake.
And what do y'all do in case of rain? Because that's threatening this weekend.
Well, you know, the area where the audience sits is covered,
mm-hmm.
and most of the stage is covered.
Good.
So unless it gets dangerous, that is, if there's lightning, we'll stop or whatever. But we're pretty much going on.
Awesome. Again, you open tomorrow night. How long do you play?
Two weekends, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all at 8 o'clock, and we close on the 24th. And I just want to say, if somebody has kids in middle school or think they might be interested in learning more about Shakespeare or acting, I think this is a great experience for younger kids as
great.
Well.
And then get information at your website, which is?
AustinShakespeare.org.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And best of luck with everything.
How long have you been doing the show, Lisa?
We are in our 10th year.
Oh. Wow, happy anniversary. Season.
Not there yet. Oh. Next year. So we are in the 10th year. When we get to the end, we will have been done doing it 10 years. Mm-hmm. So that was Anne Ciclella, Jack Fry, Sam Winget, Jessica Hughes, way over there, Heather Embry. Nobody can see that, but I just thought I'd tell people. Owen Chance and Rachel Wolfe, all with Austin Shakespeare's Young Shakespeare production of Hamlet at the Curtain Theater, June 14th through 24th. For more information, austinshakespeare.org. We'll be right back. It's awful, what a sad, sad life. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Anne Ciclella as co-host.
Coco.
I had the wrong microphone hooked up because you're in your co-host.
Yes, I am.
Your co-host.
I'm missing Nicole.
Yeah, me too.
And you know who's going to be the host for our Parker Jazz Club? Nick Mayo.
Of course. Nick Mayo is everywhere. And speaking of Nick Mayo, he will be riding solo next week. He is both Nicole and I are out of town.
Oh.
I will be gone for the next 2 weeks. And then the next week, it's going to be Nick and Nicole.
Traveling in a good way?
I'm going to Houston. I'm going to Chicago. And I'm in Chicago. I'm going to see Hamilton. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
I had to get a mortgage, a second mortgage in order to do it.
What did you pay?
I paid $300 for the ticket, which is...
People go to sports events. People go to rock concerts. They're paying that.
Yeah, don't get me started. I've I've talked about how angry I am about the pricing. of Broadway theater. And that's really because of what Hamilton set in place.
I guess you're right.
Yeah,
I guess you're definitely right.
They did the premium
pricing. Definitely right.
I am definitely right in this case.
Tell Hamilton.
Well, folks, we've done it. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you, Lisa.
If you're listening to the podcast, stick around. We'll go backstage and learn a little bit more about some of our guests. If not, stand by for Austin Monitor News. They are next. Let's go out listening to a little bit of Once on This Island. This is called The Sad Tale of Bohomes. Bohomes. Thank you, Roderick. I knew I wouldn't be able to pronounce it, but here it is.
Good thing. Rick.
The Sad Tale of the Bohome.
A history lesson.
Some say.
Well,
say,
folks, the curtain has just come down on Confusion, the musical. The story of a hapless woman that really doesn't know what the hell she's doing, but seeks the help of a group of crazy misfits that come across her way. And we have left the theater. We've crossed out of the backstage door. We're sitting out here by the dumpsters. Our feet are sitting in pools of unknown liquid. And we're going to learn a little bit about the folks that we just talked to on the show earlier. So we have Roderick. God, I just lost your last name. Sanford.
Hi there.
I was going to say Crawford, and I knew that wasn't
that's
right.
That's Broderick Crawford. Totally different general. But I would take his career. From. I would take his career. That's fine.
Roderick Sanford and Crystal Brooke Caviel.
Yes. Hi.
Hi. And Crystal, get right up on that microphone.
How's this?
You have a lovely, soft voice.
Is this better?
Yes, it's better. Okay. And then we have Owen Chance.
Hello there.
Hello there. And Heather Embry.
Hi.
Heather, have I been pronouncing your last name properly?
Yes, it's good. Heather Embry. Good job.
Awesome. And Sam Winget.
Hello.
Yeah, awesome. I actually had to phonetically write out Sam's name. So that's the scoop. So let's start, Sam, with you, since we were talking about you before the show started. Many of us thought you were an adult ringer for the young Shakespeare, but you're not. You're young Shakespeare's age, as we learned on the regular podcast, right?
Yeah. I'm 19.
How did you get involved in theater?
Oh, my mom and my grandma were both really, really into theater, but they never really got into it. My mom, after like...
Was your mom Liza Minnelli and your grandmother Judy Garland?
No.
Okay,
no.
I just wanted to check.
My mom did a lot of commedia dell'arte
stuff,
and like she wrote a bunch of things like within that genre.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was having trouble. I'm originally from North Carolina, and mm-hmm. I moved here to Austin, and I was having trouble kind of making friends because, God, I was 7, I think. I was just bad with people.
Oh. And like, well, you seem pretty good with people now.
It's because of theater.
Okay.
Like, she got me into like doing things at my middle school, and then after that we started doing things like during the summer. So I started doing the Vortex, like young actors.
Oh, awesome.
And I was Tartuffe in that, and that was really, really a lot of fun.
I knew I recognized you. That was so good.
Yeah, yes. Right? Oh yeah. My God, it was such a fun experience.
I did not get to see it.
It was good.
It was so,
when
so
was
fun.
That?
Oh God.
Approximately.
A couple years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. When you were 17.
Right.
And are you out of high school now?
Yeah. I just graduated like June 2nd.
Mazel tov. And are you going to go to college?
Yeah. I'm going to college in in Boston at Emerson.
Awesome. What about the two of you? Y'all going to college when you're... what year are you in?
So I am actually going to graduate in August. Uh-huh. I do online school.
Okay.
Yeah. So
you do online school?
Yeah. It's
online high school.
Yeah. Online high school.
Wow.
So through UT.
Didn't have that, did we, Roderick?
Yeah.
Crawford.
I've been doing that for 2 years, and then I'm going to take a gap year.
Oh, and what are you going to do in your gap year?
I don't know yet. I really want to travel and get more acting experience because this is actually my first acting experience.
Really?
Yeah, I've always wanted to try it.
And you're playing Ophelia for your
first
acting experience.
Yeah, I know. It's so awesome.
All right. Well, listen, neither a lender or a borrower be. Just giving you some advice and go to a nunnery, for God's sakes. Owen, what about you? Or what year are you in right now? Or I guess you're a rising something.
I will be a junior next year.
So you're rising junior.
Yeah. I just finished sophomore year.
Awesome. And then Crystal Bird, did you go to college?
I did.
Where'd you go?
I went to several colleges. I went to, I did ACC's drama department. It's actually really great.
So because it's not there anymore, I don't think, but over at the
It's at Highland.
Yeah, that's where it is now, but that's it was over now. At
Rio Grande.
Rio Grande, that's the yes. word I was coming to, which used to be Austin High School.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Philadelphia. I went to University of the Arts. And then I went to Texas State.
Awesome. I've talked about Texas State several times just in the past day or so, and just talking about how great they are. And did you do musical theater? Were you part of the musical theater program there?
No, just no. Straight drama.
Just straight drama. The real stuff. and Roderick, did you go to college?
I attended Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas, the Harvard of the South.
It's a lovely little campus.
It's great school.
Did you do the theater department there?
That is actually where I started theater, because in high school I did not want to have anything to do with theater because I thought they were weird.
Well, they are.
I was a choir kid, which looked down on the theater kid, which now I'm a musical theater kid, which doesn't know.
Were you, did you grow up here in Austin?
I grew up in Fort Worth and Dallas.
Okay, I've heard of both of those places.
Yes, yes. I'm going to top you, though. Then I graduated high school in Paris, Texas.
Ah, mais oui.
But you hadn't heard of that.
I have heard of that.
Magnifique.
I couldn't tell you where it is, but I want to think it's in East Texas
it's
somewhere.
It's Northeast Texas, yes.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so those, scooting back to the younger folk over here, and by that I mean all of us on this side of the, yes. of the table, myself babies. Included. For those of you that are going to college, are you going to study theater?
I would like to. I definitely want to major in performing arts, but, you know, since I don't have much experience, it's kind of, you know.
I'll give you a little piece of advice. This is where you get your experience.
Yeah.
So don't let experience stop you from following what could be a really lovely dream.
Yeah, I started as an English major, had no desire to be a theater major, it was not on my radar, my plan. And they said, hey, you can sing or you can do this. Why don't you audition for the show? I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And now here we are. So.
This is great. Actually, I'm going to shake our program up here a little bit because we have two different generations, three each. I think it would be great to let those of us that have a few years of experience in the world throw some advice maybe to those that have less so, and then also hear that advice back, come back to us. So do y'all have any words of wisdom for aspiring young performers or just young humans?
There's not a role that you won't take. If they say audition and you're like, well, that doesn't fit like what I feel my character is or that I have the ability to do it anyway. Because every audition is a learning experience. That's what I've come across. And you may get something that's going to stretch you. Go for it. You're going to be in college. You can get away with so much in college that you're not going to be able to get away with once you walk across that stage. So do it. I mean, just expand yourself and grow as much as possible. And have fun, because once again, this is, if you don't enjoy it, then there's no reason to even step foot on stage.
Yeah.
Crystal Bird, what words of wisdom would you have?
Don't let no be a deterrent, because you're going to hear it all the time.
A lot.
I mean, you're going to hear no way more than you're going to hear yes, but don't let it stop you. I mean, I know that sounds cliche, but it's hard out there, for real. And once you're told no after, you know, 100 times, but it'll come along and it'll happen. I just don't give up, as cliche as that sounds.
There is so much that goes into casting decisions that you are completely unaware of. And then a director is going to have something in their mind, and you just may not fit that when you walk in the door.
Exactly.
And it's not necessarily based on talent or talent for that role. Great advice.
Another thing I was thinking, and it blew my mind what I was getting ready to say. So keep talking.
You want to say hello?
Back to
okay. So here's my advice to you, which I think is very important. It saved my professional career. Learn everything you can about theater. Do not just be an actor. Learn about stage management. Learn about lighting. Learn about building sets. Learn about operating the crew, costume. Design, all that stuff. You don't have to be a designer or a stage manager or a carpenter, but you need, as an actor, you need to understand how all that stuff works and how all those departments are doing their job to work with you and make that show happen. Plus, you could find yourself doing one of those roles and liking it and making a career that way. That would be my advice. Did you remember, Roderick?
I remember. Okay. So, and because you guys are doing your more straight play than musical theater, I was going to say, because I have a lot of friends that are younger, that their objective is to get to New York and get to Broadway. Yeah. There are theater companies all over this country that will teach you allow you to be yourself and allow you to work. And that's not the end all. And I have so many friends, oh, I'm moving to New York. I'm doing that. I'm like, oh, that's great. See you when you get back. And I'm still going to be doing shows.
There you go. Anyway, so what? Oh, go ahead.
I have like Sam. A question. So you said you did like musical theater stuff, yeah, Roderick?
Right? Does.
That's primarily everything that I do is musical theater for the most part, yes.
I always had a problem because I was in choir for a little bit when I was a tiny little boy, and I was like doing, I was a tenor.
Yeah.
And then like
and as then you once can things see, change,
like,
yeah,
like, we have this. Just hit me with like a truck. Like,
yeah.
And I've always been scared of like doing musical theater because I'm a bass, like a very, very deep bass.
There are some, find, like, it's not, the little tenors run the world in some aspects, but then when there is a bass part in a show, it is something that stands out because it's not the norm. And
but the fun roles are not the tenor roles.
The fun roles are not that is true. That
so
is true.
The character roles that are typically going to be baritone and bass are so much fun.
Yeah. Oh, just like how it's boring to play the hero all the time or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No.
Says the villain.
I've been typecast as a villain so many times.
Because of your voice.
Because of my voice and my beard.
And you're tall.
Yeah.
And so, the beard.
So that's the other real quick little piece of advice. It's, I'm not going to go on about this because I want to give y'all a chance to give us a little bit of advice. But that Sam brought up a good point. It's really important as a performer to, you don't necessarily have to be a triple threat. You don't have to be a great actor, dancer, singer. Also, it helps if you are, but you should learn dance. You should learn singing. Whether you plan to be a musical performer or not, you should have those skills in your bag. So do you guys have any words of wisdom for us?
Ooh. Nice. Words dear, of wisdom.
Dear me, 18. No.
When I was 18, I was very, weren't you? I knew everything.
I did. I knew everything. You couldn't tell me nothing.
Well, here's the deal. A lot of us, especially those of us in control of things, tend to look at younger people and assume that they do not have a voice, but you do. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to hear it. It doesn't have to be advice. It could be anything.
I think it's good to just not take anything too seriously. That's kind of my outlook, is that everything can kind of be, to a certain extent, taken a little bit lighter than you would think.
Great. Hmm. I like that.
Yeah. Heather?
I need a moment to think about this.
Well, you don't have to. I don't want to put you on the spot, even though I do like putting you on the spot.
I think I have maybe one thing.
Okay.
I figured it out like after high school, I felt like this big disconnect from a lot of my friends in school because I didn't feel obligated that I needed to be around them like 24 hours a day. I just felt like I needed to be around them because I loved them.
There you go.
And this other thing that I came up with like in theater was like, I don't need to worry about anybody else doing their great a job. I just need to support them and also just do my best. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if like somebody else is not doing their best. They'll get to it. But at the moment, I need to worry about me doing my absolute best and trying at least.
I think that's an important thing for us to hear. So I want to end this by doing what we typically do, but I think it's going to be great for you guys to hear this and where you guys grew up, how you found theater, how you found your love of theater, what's the genesis of that, Crystal Bird?
I grew up in South Austin, and I went to Bowie High School, and I did theater there. The entire time I did You Can't Take It With You. I did Kentucky Cycle. I did Sweeney Todd.
Oh.
I was Lucy in Sweeney Todd.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
It's a great show.
It was the last musical I ever did, I think.
It's a hard musical.
It was hard. But that was, I auditioned. You know, I was like, I can't sing. But then I found something in myself. And there I was singing these super high, crazy parts that I didn't even know I had access to, you know. But my mom took us to theater growing up, and we went to the Nutcracker every year, and then we saw Phantom of the Opera every single year.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's still my favorite.
Oh,
I've probably
no.
seen it 10 times,
6,000 times.
It's my favorite. And I've been doing theater ever since.
Awesome. All right.
Mine, I grew up as a preacher's kid, so I grew up in church, grew up singing. My mother's the music minister for our church, so I was always singing. That was already there. The theater part didn't come along till later. On a senior trip, we went to New York, and that was the first time I saw A Chorus Line. I was like, I can do that. No pun intended. And then we got back and got to college, and the very first show I ever acted in was How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. And that was like, I'm like, I like this. This bug is actually a real thing. So I can sing. I can be on stage. I'm learning. So I switched majors. It was just, it was, mm-hmm. The music, like I said, music has always been there. It's just actually getting on stage finally and having the gumption that, hey, I can do this and I enjoy doing this and I'm actually okay at it. So.
Well, that's awesome. So we're going to have to leave it there. But Roderick, I do want to ask you a question. If you,
yes.
Is there a musical that you would like to do that you haven't done yet in a role? And it doesn't have to be, I mean,
yes,
it could be
actually,
anything. What's that?
If anyone listening would ever decide to do Company again and they would like to have a Black Bobby, I'm available.
Black Bobby. I like alliterative anything, so maybe Ground Floor Theater will do it.
Just, I'm saying anyone.
So actually, if you listen really closely right now, you can hear a little bit of Bobby Baby, Bobby Booby.
Bobby Booby.
Right in the back. Can you hear it?
I can hear it.
Can y'all hear it? Well, thanks for joining us backstage. Really enjoyed having you guys here, and we can't wait to get you back here. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Sorry,
look at how I have to work Thursday evening.